Growing up biracial means navigating a world that often sees you in black and white, even when your reality exists in shades of gray. This tension comes alive through the eyes of Dante Ellison, a dark-skinned boy attending an elite prep school where his lighter-skinned brother Trey thrives. When Dante is falsely accused of throwing a pencil, the situation escalates with shocking speed. The school calls security, then police. Before he can process what's happening, Dante is let out in handcuffs while his classmates watch and record on their phones. His tormentor, fencing team captain Alan Davies, mockingly chants, "Black brother, black brother," as officers push Dante's head into the police car. The stark contrast between how Dante and Trey are treated highlights the insidious nature of colorism. Though they share the same parents, a black mother and white father, their different skin tones result in radically different experiences. Trey is accepted, celebrated, and given the benefit of the doubt, while Dante is criminalized, suspected, and punished without evidence. At the police station, Dante sits alone in a cell, overwhelmed by shame and confusion. When his parents arrive, another bias emerges. Officers who dismissed his mother's legal demands suddenly become pleasant when his white father walks in. Though his mother is the lawyer, his father's presence seems to carry more weight. During suspension, Dante experiences a different kind of imprisonment. Even in his own neighborhood, he feels hyper-aware of others' perceptions. Walking outside, he wonders if neighbors question his presence. Police cars trigger newfound anxiety. This constant awareness of being seen as other creates a psychological burden Trey doesn't share. Their relationship remains complex yet beautiful. Though they share the same parents and home, their experiences diverge dramatically because of skin color. Yet their bond stays strong. When Dante reveals his plan to beat Alan at fencing, Trey initially laughs at his brother's athletic limitations, but ultimately supports him, affirming that Ellison brothers stick together. Determined to defeat Alan, Dante seeks out Arden Jones, a former Olympic silver medalist, now at the Boston Boys and Girls Club. During their first session, Coach Jones tests Dante's resolve with grueling push-ups. When Dante completes all 10 despite collapsing, Coach remarks, "I can't teach drive." The club becomes Dante's true community, where he trains with Trey and twins Zion and Zara. Through Zara's research, they uncover African-American Olympic fencers like Aaron Smart and Ibtihaj Muhammad. They learn Alexander Dumas, author of The Three Musketeers, was black, as was his father, General Thomas Alexander Dumas, once Napoleon's greatest general. These discoveries connect Dante to a legacy of black excellence in fencing that history often overlooks. Coach Jones becomes the novel's moral center, teaching that fencing embodies courage, honor, integrity, and chivalry. His advice to Dante, be you, stay confident, visible, even if others can't see you, offers both practical guidance and a philosophy for navigating bias without losing oneself. A pivotal moment occurs when Coach Jones reveals his history with Alan's father, Mr. Michael. As teammates on the USA Fencing National Championships team in the 1970s, Coach endured systematic racism from Michael, who couldn't accept having a black teammate. Under this psychological warfare, Coach eventually broke, deliberately losing a crucial match, a decision that haunted him for decades. "I gave up on me, became invisible, let them write me out of the story I was meant to write myself," Coach explains. This reveals his deep investment in Dante's journey, seeing not just talent, but a chance for redemption, ensuring another young black fencer doesn't surrender to the same forces that once defeated him. The intergenerational nature of racism becomes clear as Jonathan Michael's prejudices shaped his son Alan's behavior. Yet Coach shows remarkable maturity, expressing pity for Michael, who still can't see beyond his prejudice. Through mentoring Dante, Coach finds healing. "Meeting you, I'm learning to forgive myself. I don't need to hate, not anymore." Dante's juvenile hearing becomes a pivotal moment where he finds his voice. Applying Coach's fencing lessons, he makes a strategic attack, highlighting his white father and brother in the audience, mentioning his Olympic fencer coach, and questioning Headmaster McGeary's absence. Though relieved by the judge's favorable ruling, Dante recognizes the system's inequity. It mattered that he had educated parents, wasn't poor, and had white family members. Lady Justice's supposed blindness proves mythical. This courtroom victory parallels Dante's fencing progress. Through relentless training, he develops both physical skill and mental toughness. At the Massachusetts regional competition, Dante faces Allen directly. Despite an injured wrist from Allen's trip, he fences strategically, setting traps, exercising caution, and exploiting Allen's frustration. In the final moments, Dante channels his emotions into one focused hit, winning 5-1. Afterward, he extends his hand to Allen, who reluctantly meets his gaze, truly seeing him for the first time. In that moment of black hand on white, Dante realizes Allen's approval doesn't matter. What matters is his own identity, Dante Ellison, fencing champion. The novel's resolution avoids simplistic answers. Allen's defeat doesn't magically create friendship. Real change requires more. Middlefield Prep continues struggling with deep-seated biases, illustrating how systemic change demands sustained effort rather than single moments of revelation. On the anniversary of Dante's arrest, he and Trey launch a powerful t-shirt campaign. Their daily color switches between Black Brother and White Brother challenge classmates' preconceptions about race. Their message evolves to Dante's "race is not a color" and Trey's "heritage is lit, what's yours?" sparking deeper conversations about identity. The Boys and Girls Club exemplifies authentic community building. Under Dolores' guidance, their celebration feast represents the warmth often missing from formal institutions. Coach's toast to their "family" resonates as laughter, song, and dance fill the space. Dante's journey through fencing reveals truths about personal growth. He discovers that mastery balances physical precision with mental discipline and emotional control. His realization that the battle is always centered in the self extends beyond fencing, offering wisdom about personal responsibility when facing life's challenges. Black Brother, Black Brother challenges us to examine how we see others and ourselves. Through Dante's journey from invisibility to proud fencing champion, we witness the power of being seen for who you truly are. Coach Jones teaches Dante that fencing requires seeing everything, anticipating opponents' moves, recognizing patterns, staying alert to opportunities. This skill extends beyond the strip to life itself. Learning to see beyond surface appearances, beyond skin color and stereotypes, becomes essential for creating a just society. When Dante extends his hand to Allen after winning, he offers more than a customary handshake. He invites Allen to see him as a worthy opponent, a skilled athlete, a complete person. This gesture carries weight given their antagonistic history and the racial tension at school. In a society that reduces complex identities to simplistic categories, this story reminds us that true seeing requires recognizing the full humanity in ourselves and others. Only through this deeper vision can we create communities where everyone belongs because of the unique strengths their differences bring.